We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Seemed ridiculous. Like, that's not going to happen. So a shorter season, I'll take it. If it's basketball and hockey coming back and just playoffs, great. And if it's, a short baseball season, fine. And then, the real question is going to be football. Are we going to get fans? Is that going to have to get delayed? Or what's going on there? That's clearly the most important one.
If I want one thing now, during the summer, I want NHL playoff hockey. That's what I think be.
But they haven't said that'll a date, though.
That'll be the most meaningful. That'll be you'll get right into it. The
NBA playoffs is good too.
Will you look at that as a real cup team though? Like in 5 years, will you be like, oh yeah, whatever team won it in 2020, like that was legit? Or are you gonna be like,
I will. Eh. But what do you
asterisk?
But if you asterisk, have yeah, but what do you do? What do you do about stats if there's only a 40-game baseball season or 50 games? None of that's legit. Like if somebody – because it would be easier for somebody to hit 400 theoretically, correct?
Right. Yeah, but hit 400, have an ERA below 1 or something insane. Or,
just
like
multiply
those
all
ones.
The numbers by 4, so it'll be like 160-game season.
Well, you would just
now have 40 home runs. Congrats.
You would just treat it like a – maybe like a shortened lockout or strike season where it's just, the numbers are what they are based on how long the season was. So, if somebody at 400, they're not going to be like, oh, somebody finally broke Ted Williams' record of 406 or whatever it is.
Yeah, like they didn't have the whatever the minimum number of at-bats that you would have to have in a long season. Yeah, you could do it that way.
But if baseball, if they can't figure out a way to get back, they run the risk of the same result that kind of happened to the NHL after the lockout, where you end up with really kind of regional interest and not.
But that's what baseball is now, though, is regional interest.
No, it's not.
We talked about this yesterday, they're the third sport.
There's still some hardos. I don't know. Do you think they're the third sport?
Yeah.
I think the NBA has probably nationally, again, passed them by. Yes. I think Red Sox overall is still more popular than the Celtics, but like nationally. I think the NBA is more popular, but it's probably close.
Revenue-wise, baseball is bigger than the NBA.
Nationally?
Yes.
But what about the NBA? What about the Stanley Cup versus the NBA Finals? I think more people watch.
Oh, NBA.
Yeah, and more people watch. So that's why I said
And the World Series. People watch the NBA Finals and the World Series. Well, Curtis, you might know this better. I would assume those numbers are somewhat similar, and then it depends on if it's like LeBron versus Curry. That's going to do better than like a bad World Series.
Yeah,
I bet they go back and
Cubs
forth.
Indians was a higher rated than that year, but outside of the outliers, I think the NBA Finals consistently are higher rated than the World Series.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah.
Well, what do you guys, what are Dale and the Turnip talking about today?
Oh my God. Well, I got to kind of rebound from that if I can. First of all, I got to rethink everything I've ever said on the air.
Just a quick note, 10.7 billion 2019 revenue for Major League Baseball, 8.6 billion for the NBA's last season. So 2 billion more a year in Major League Baseball.
Okay. We're going to do, yesterday we really didn't do any sports at all when we had Wiggy and we were doing all kind of real world stuff, which we'll do some of today, including Tommy Kern wrote an article called Done Looking for Excuses to Stay Silent, and he's going to join us at 12:15. But we'll also get into some of this baseball stuff as well as some of these different articles that have been written about the Patriots quarterback depth chart and, where the Patriots rank going into the season and different issues like that.
Fitzy said he's going to be the Stidham will be the MVP this year.
Well, speaking of that, we have his MVP odds as well, and who he's tied with is kind of interesting. So we'll hit on all that.
Moron, Keith.
God, that stings. That absolutely stings.
Lou, just
today.
Not a fan, Rich.
No, he hates me.
You know what? They all can't be.
True.
all right. Have fun. Thanks, you guys. We will be back tomorrow morning at 6. The Subaru Summer is happening right now. It's your chance to embrace the great outdoors in the all-new 2020 Subaru Outback, the safest and most adventurous Outback ever made, starting at just $26,645. You can buy the Outback right now with 0% financing for up to 63 months and get 90-day payment deferral from participating retailers. Or you can lease it for $249 a month for 36 months with $2,449 due at signing. Powered by symmetrical all-wheel drive and X-Mode, the Outback is built for your summertime adventures. To get complete details and to find your authorized Subaru retailer, just visit SubaruofNewEngland.com and buckle up and make this the best Subaru summer yet.
Don't go anywhere. Dale and Keith get the midday started in just 60 seconds.
On WEEI.
Off the coast of Massachusetts, a sailboat is powering forward with handcrafted, advanced fiber Kevlar sails. It's a blend of high tech and high touch, which happens to be how we craft solutions for your business at Brookline Bank. Because with technology-driven tools to manage cash flow and our hands-on approach to problem solving, Brookline Bank is ready to help your business power ahead. It's banking well-crafted. From Brookline Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
How do you dispose of cigarettes?
Well, there's part of plants.
Really? Fertilizer and dried plant roots can catch fire.
Trash cans okay?
Please. All that trash can easily catch fire.
So off my porch is a bad idea.
Cigarettes tossed into mulch, leaves, and grass start many fires. Fire can grow up the side of a building before anyone notices.
Fine. Bucket of sand?
That's perfect. Put it out. All the way. Every time. To learn more, go to mass.gov/DFS.
Wake up with the Greg Hill Show. The Greg Hill Show. Morning 6 to 10. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston. A radio.com sports station.
The Dale and Keefe Show is broadcasting live from our Shaw's and Star Market WEEI home studios.
To not get a deal done, the consequences are almost unthinkable. It probably would spin baseball into a long cycle of labor problems. There might be some owners feeling like we've lost so much money already, we're just going to sit back, wait out the player.
Dale Arnold.
At so many times during these past several weeks, when the country needed compassion and leadership the most, it was simply nowhere to be found.
Imagine playing one-on-one, and I know the referee, he's my friend. And I'm just hacking you, and he ain't calling that.
Rich Keith.
Then I had to listen to this moron Keith, who frankly ought to be fired when he made the statement yesterday that all Trump wants is a civil war. Really? This guy's got the IQ of a turnip.
Dale and Keith, middays.
I've always had a thing for mannequins.
Because I'm all about value.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Where is the love, Rich?
Dale.
Where is the love?
Oh, my God. Is there not enough going on right now that I need this as well? I mean, I'm feeling bad about the world in general. And now this guy calling for my job, questioning my intelligence.
As you correctly pointed out, by the way, yeah. You have a young child at home.
Yes.
I mean, you still need to buy diapers and formula and you know, baby food
and
stuff
don't have
like that.
Any other skills, and it could even be argued if I have this skill. So
well, apparently, according to World War Lou, you do not.
Then I had to listen to this moron Keith, who frankly ought to be fired when he made the statement yesterday that, I'm not a Trump fan. I am a Republican, okay? But I don't like some of the crap he says either. But this moron on the radio says, all Trump wants is a civil war. Really? This guy's got the IQ of a turnip.
Wow. That last one is really what knocks it down.
That stings the most,
doesn't it? No, he starts by saying, I had to listen to Keith. You don't have to do anything. That's kind of
the
beauty of America.
We appreciate you do, by the way, Lou. Keep listening.
Yeah, we love you to listen. You know, you don't have to, but we love that you would listen.
Let's be honest. Lou is from New Hampshire. And as I'm listening to him, I'm thinking, this is the umpire who threw you out of a game.
Could have
been.
When
you were, you know, a young and wild and restless young Rich Keefe. And
yeah, his zone was all out of the whack, and I had to tell him about it.
I had to tell him his
brutal called third strike, and I said, listen, I don't agree with your zone, sir. Yeah, no,
that's
that
not
one
exactly what you said.
Now, how off am I about the Civil War comment after watching last night's little episode there?
I don't think I'm that far off. I would say, if anything, yesterday you might have been prescient.
Thank you. No, like I'm like, oh, because I missed it live, and Ken tells me, he's like, yeah, a guy called you a turnip and wants you to be fired. I'm like, well, what was this about? And he was like,
he said it was Zarbano. He just called in. And
yeah, he just called in. He's like, I got to get this off my chest. But he's like, oh, something you said yesterday. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, we said a lot of stuff yesterday. And then he told me what it was. And I'm like, no, I kind of, not only do I stand by it, I feel better about it. I was saying that when you were just reading some of the quotes of what he was telling the governors.
And little did we know that at 6:45, well, at 6:25, they were going to fire tear gas and rubber bullets at peaceful protesters.
Correct.
To clear the path.
Right.
And at, you know, 6:45, he was going to make the long walk across the park to go to the church.
How else would you describe using your own military against your own people? What is that?
Yeah.
What do you call that? Is there another term for it? I mean, I'm sure there is. I'm as smart as a turnip, so I can't think of any others. But I don't know. It feels a little bit like a civil war, or at least could turn into a civil war. But hey, that guy was upset, and, you know, God bless him.
It's interesting to note, by the way, that I'm a big fan of General Mark Milley, or Milley, I guess is how you correctly say it. He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I've only been with him one time. He was with us at a Bruins game. He was on with us between periods and sat there and watched a period with me. He's one of those people who just commands respect the minute you meet him. And then I see him marching across the park with the president, and the president basically saying, I'm putting this guy in charge of all this, when, best as I can recall from my reading, that wouldn't be legal.
Oh, okay.
you can't actually, you know, turn the U.S. military loose on the American people.
There's got to be something in there that would not allow that to happen. But I don't know. I think all bets are off with everything at this point. Like, nothing can surprise you anymore, you know?
I probably, at this point, you're probably right.
Like, no matter what the headline pops up about anything, you'd be like, yep, that sounds like this. Again, remember, we go back a couple weeks ago where the government's like, yeah, UFOs exist. And people are like, yeah, we don't have time for that. Like, we're dealing with a lot of other stuff. We don't really, yeah, great. You guys are confirming UFOs. Yeah, we already knew about UFOs. Right, yeah, let's focus on this other stuff.
Here.
Yeah, like, oh, my God.
I'm a little concerned about the city of Boston tonight. Based on the fact that there is what is being described as a peaceful protest rally planned for the city of Boston tonight, and based on our experiences over the last 8 days, those can tend to be co-opted. And I'm a little concerned about our city tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't be. You know, I just think that, you know, if the whole thing goes like the beginning of the protest did on Sunday, then we're in great shape. But if even a little bit of it turns into like the end of Sunday night, then we're not. And we're going to be even in a worse spot. And there's going to be, you know, more destruction and potentially more people hurt, maybe people killed. I mean, that's what happens when you have something like this. And now you have everybody on high alert. You know, the police force is going to be, you know, out in huge force. And so, yeah, I mean, it could be scary. It could be powerful too. I mean, let's... And you're going to have to see how it all plays out. But, I mean, it just in any of these cities now that when they pop up and after what the president has sort of said. And I know there's been governors all around the country that have had a little bit of a pushback and everything. But let's see what then happens with the police or, you know, the National Guard or whoever else gets involved.
So last night it was Providence. There was looting and rioting in the city of Providence. The looters got into the Providence Place Mall, and one of the stories that I read, the tweets I was reading as I was following along last night was, they're throwing iPhones out of the Apple Store. Oh, well, that'll change society as we know it. But get yourself a new iPhone X, and away we go.
Well, then it just, like, all these scenes, they remind you of, like, these types of, like, apocalyptic movies. You know, when you're watching it, you're like, it doesn't feel real. And then when you know, if you see people inside of a mall, it's literally at a Dawn of the Dead where it's just people smashing stuff and going crazy, and you're like, this doesn't, this can't be right, but it is, and it's happening in just about every state and all the major cities.
And it's the point where, and I pushed back with Wiggy a bit about this yesterday. I'm sorry, you lose the moral high ground of the perfectly appropriate peaceful protests if your next thought is, what, I can get Nikes in there?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, I can get iPhones? Let's go grab a handful of those babies.
And I do understand part of what Wiggy is saying where, all right, peaceful protests. Like, for a great example is Colin Kaepernick was doing, by most accounts, a peaceful protest. People really didn't like it. They hated it.
Well, they also misrepresented it, too. He's against the military. He's against our right, which had nothing to do with it.
But that's the thing, and then it sort of gets hijacked, and it's the same thing with these protests, where the protests, they start with a really good message, and then you see some of the looting, and then you focus on that, and you're like, oh, like, what is this? And you're like, all right, well, you're distracting from the point. That's a small percentage of the people. Like, that is not what we're looking to do. But going back to Wiggy's point, too, is sometimes you can only get so far with peaceful protests, you know, and how much attention would everything be getting if it was just marches in certain cities with signs? And this kind of then falls back into some of the media. Like, are they...
See, and I'd be okay with that if I actually thought that was what was in the minds of the looters. Well, the only way we'll get their attention is if we do the... I don't think that's it at all. It's, what, I get free stuff?
No, you're right. I mean, that's true. I mean, I guess maybe I separate the, you know, tipping over a cop car versus stealing iPhones and cheesecakes and lamps. You know, like, there is a difference. And I think it's also, some people are just there hoping that somebody starts it, and then they're like, all right, easy enough, free stuff, right? Like, and people love free stuff, and they're just going to assume that it is. So, I mean, it's just, anytime you have that big a group of people in any place, you're going to have
there are going to be nitwits.
There's
there
always
will
gonna,
be
think about even
you
even
know
at
what,
like,
Rich?
Pro sports games,
in,
you're
in
always
fact, Rich,
people
you know what there will you know what yeah. there will be? There will be turnips.
There's gonna be a few turnips in there. Always gonna happen. But I mean, you think about even sports games, which are supposed to be, you know, just go there for entertainment and to enjoy. You know, you got guys getting thrown out of games for being drunk, guys getting fights, and guys getting arrested. Like, it happens, and that's under what should be like more normal times. And now you get this where, like, it's just so tense down there, and you have the police dressed up like they're ready to go to war, and you have these people that. You know, the videos that make me the most sick are the guys that are, or girls, who are kind of kneeled down with a sign, and they're just kind of talking, and they're trying to, you know, get their point across, and then the police just have enough of it, and they grab them, they're like, oh, you're arrested. And you're like, wait, what? Like, that? If we can't do that, then, like, what can we do?
And almost, if not more disturbing for me, and we've seen a lot of this the last number of days, is you'll see a member of the media. There was an Australian crew, a camera person and a reporter, who got completely roughed up by this overzealous idiot in police garb yesterday.
Yeah,
where he literally used his shield to nail this camera guy in the crotch and then was trying to grab his camera and then went after the reporter and was chasing her down. And I'm thinking, what exactly is this guy trying to prove?
Yeah.
Tell me exactly what this policeman, now I'm not talking about police in general, I'm talking about that nitwit.
No, that specific one, right.
That specific nitwit. Yeah. What's he, you know what, what's he going for here?
Well, and that's just it. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just he's heard so many things about, you know, what police are doing, or maybe he's just, I don't know, he finally has an opportunity where they're sort of allowing it. And they're like, listen, well, you know, keep these people under control. Like, you are allowed to keep them off of this sidewalk or keep them off of this street by any means necessary. And then some of these guys really enjoy that. You know?
And unfortunately, there's also a climate in this country where the media has been labeled the enemy of the people in certain political parts.
Yes.
And for some of the members of the law enforcement community, it's, oh, they're the enemy of the people, are they? Okay.
Yeah. No, it's true. And I also think, and this goes back to, like, the history of media, but the whole, if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
And so when you're sitting there on the news, not to say that they completely ignored peaceful protests and huge numbers of people all kind of taking a knee or whatever they happen to be doing, and they did show that. But, I mean, the percentages of that versus the tear gas, riot gear, you know, guys getting tackled, cars going through people, like, it's just when you sit down and you have your TV producer and they're like, all right, pick one of these images that you want to show.
Right.
I mean, come on. Which one do you think they're going to put up there?
We've got a bunch of stuff we're going to get to throughout the course of the next 4 hours. On Tuesdays, we normally, and we will again today, talk to Tommy Curran, our buddy from NBC Sports Boston. He'll join us at 12:15. He had a very fascinating column that he wrote. And I will admit that as I read it, I thought, you know, I may be in this same category here, where you're a little nervous about what to say or what not to say or whether or not your voice matters. And I thought Curran's piece was very interesting, and we'll talk to him about it. That's coming up at 12:15 today. I thought he put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah, he absolutely did, and it was inspired by what Brian Flores had to say. And we've seen a lot of coaches, players as well, you know, kind of speak up over the last couple of weeks. And so he was inspired by that. And it's an interesting take, you know, as Curran, another guy, sort of like you and me, Dale, you know, you grow up in New England as like a middle-class white guy, you hear these issues, and you're like, well, what do I really bring to the table, right? Like, isn't, you know,
what
at
right
some point,
do I have to comment on this?
Yeah, like, if I jump in here, what is that? Is it self-serving, or is it looked at as just being like, you don't know what you're talking about, or it's tricky. It really is, and not that that's the biggest issue. It's not. Like, how do white people feel about it? That's not the biggest issue. I get it. But I do feel like, especially in today's age, there's nothing you can do where everybody's going to say, hey, you did the right thing. Like, and I'm sure, and I'm interested to get Curran's take on what the reaction has been to his article, because I'm sure there are people that are like, hey, that was great, and you've made me change my thinking. And then I'm sure there are other people being like, yeah, what are you doing? Why don't you stick to sports? And it's like, you're not going to please everybody, so you have to do what you think is best. And I think Curran said, you know, for years he would kind of look the other way. And I think it's easy to do, especially when you're not, if you're not a racist, you're like, well, listen, I'm just living my life. I'm treating everybody the same. So what do you want from me? But if you're not really taking the time to acknowledge what's going on, or if you're never having the conversation, like, I think that's been a big change over the last week or so. I really do. I think there's been more people who I would label good people that hadn't really talked about it before.
We're hearing more and more in our world, you know, the athletic world. We're hearing more and more from people who normally you don't hear from. We mentioned that Michael Jordan put out a statement, which was surprising. Tiger Woods put out one today, and he's another guy who has kind of, I think, avoided being aligned politically at all. Tom Brady has done some of that as well, along with the Players Coalition. So some of these people are throwing their opinions into the ring where in the past, like Tommy Curran, like me, maybe even like you said, maybe I'll just sit this one out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the big differences, again, is, you know, Tom writes and is on TV for sports. You and I are on the radio for sports. And so usually we're always going to kind of skew it towards sports. And I think there's also a big difference, though, between, you know, police brutality and race relations and things like that versus, oh, how do you feel about being taxed, or what are your thoughts on abortion, or what, you know, I mean, this really shouldn't be political. Now, it eventually kind of dives into it because you're listening to what the president says or what, you know, your governors happen to say, and it can be spun quickly into politics, but this is so much bigger than that. I mean, this is just like human decency and how to make a better world. And so I think, yeah, you can't really just turn and look away on this one. You absolutely can't.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Kiefer Madness comes your way at 1 today, by the way. The Dale and Keefe Movie Club review at 1:45. You guys picked, finally, a good movie last week. I enjoyed
good movie,
watching.
Not exactly a pick-me-up during this time, though. Probably should have watched Holy Grail again.
And at the risk of previewing my review, I'll say this. I can't remember a movie recently where I was that anxious.
Yes.
Like the entire movie.
Yep. Start to finish. I agree.
And we'll talk about that at about 1:45. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keith, and it's time to trend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
Now back to Dale and Keith.
There he is!
Middays 10 to 2
on WEEI.
The league doesn't want to do 62-114 games. It's talking even fewer than that. And the big question at this point is going to be whether the players are willing to do something that short. The league believes that in that March agreement, it has the ability to set the schedule. Now, we have to remember, this March agreement has been a bone of contention already. The league has not believed that the players have the right to a full pro rata share from that agreement. That's something that the players have been stuck on for months now.
This is just flat out down and dirty negotiations going on right now between Major League Baseball and the Players Association. By the way, Jared Diamond, who's been with us on a couple of occasions, baseball reporter for the Wall Street Journal, will join us at 10:45. So the fight now between the Players Association and Major League Baseball has to do, obviously, with money. It always does.
Right.
Major League Baseball and the Players Association agreed in March that salaries would be prorated. Makes sense. If we play half a season, you'll get half of your contract. And even the players said that makes sense. Then when they started talking about the logistics of coming back into play, owners said, well, wait a minute. We're not going to have fans in the stands. We can't pay you half. We'll lose money on the deal. We want to pay you even less than the prorated share. And that's when the wheels started to fall off the wagon here.
Yeah, there was definitely pushback, and, you know, we played Blake Snell when he was talking about it during his, you know, when he was on Twitch, and Bryce Harper kind of backed him up and all that other stuff, and, you know, Snell actually didn't sound like he even wanted to do the prorated, but the players did, the PA did sign off on that, so they were going to do that, and that makes all the sense in the world. And then, as you point out, you know, when the owners are like, well, it doesn't really make sense to just pay you the full half if we're not going to be making what we'd normally be making anyway, but where the owners lost me, was when they made these extra cuts, when they put in the proposal that, you know, depending on what bracket you're in, let's say you make $1 million versus like $20 million, you know, the guy making $1 million was going to end up making like pretty close to $1 million, like 750 maybe 800,000, but the guy making like 20, 30 million was going to make like 5 million. Those aren't the exact numbers, but it was pretty drastic for the top guys. And I said, well, hold on a second. Like, that doesn't make any sense. It's easier to wrap around, like, all right, everybody, you know, maybe there's like a sliding scale where these guys, they lose an extra 5%, the next group loses an extra, you know, 10%. But when you take that much money away from the star players, who, oh, by the way, I think you're going to want them on your side, because there's definitely going to be players that say, no, nah, I don't want to do it. But if your star players all say, yeah, let's do it, they're more likely to convince some other guys to go along for the ride. And if you have Mike Trout and all these other guys who might sit down anyway, but if you have all these star guys that say, well, I was kind of on the fence and I was supposed to make $30 million and now I'm making $5 million, I'm going to stay home. And you know what, guys? I don't blame you if you do either. I just think that was such a mess.
I do think I can accept an argument that the higher paid players should give up more of their salary. In other words, if you said blanket, like, everybody's going to give up 20%. Well, for the guy making major league minimum, that's a huge hit on him. Mm-hmm. And the guy making $35 million a year, not quite the same. But it's the gross disparity in the numbers
Yeah,
and that's the
it was
point
just
Wiggy made, you know, where, yeah. where Wiggy was saying, oh, okay, the guys at the top of the pay scale should give up more, but how much more?
Right, and I think that they would, but it just made it, like, it was so off. Like, it was just completely out of whack. And so
here's where the rubber hits the road this week, and this could be the week that kills baseball for the season.
So, or forever.
Or maybe forever. So the union initially, they said, well, look, they're going to pay us a prorated share, so we got to play more games so we right. make more money. So the union said, we want to play 114 games. Good luck, by the way, jamming that thing in. But
114 games, and they claimed that it would end on Halloween. I'm like,
that's what they claim, yeah.
Seems like a lot of doubleheaders.
So that's their proposal, 114 games. Excuse me. So according to Jeff Passan, what Major League Baseball is now floating. By the way, they never propose anything. They just float stuff.
Yeah, they're just going to put it out there.
They don't say to the Players Association, okay, here's our proposal. They float stuff to Passan or Jared right. Diamond or somebody. But according to Passan, what they're floating now is they'll ask for 50. So we'll pay you the full prorated portion of, but we're only going to play 50 games. So you're not going to make anywhere near as much money. As Jared Diamond points out, now let's see. The union asks for 114 games. Major League Baseball proposes, floats, 50 games. Let's split the difference. Cut it right down the middle, and what do you get? Oh, 82, the number of games Major League Baseball initially proposed, right?
The original proposal, after all. Yeah, I mean, it's how a lot of the leagues end up negotiating. Don't you feel like the NFL does this all the time, too? Where
yes.
Like for years, they're like, 18 games. They're like, no. They're like, all right, London team. They're like, no. They're like, all right, 17 games. They're like, all right, fine, 17 games.
It's okay,
just like,
fine.
And then a couple more years, they're going to be 18 games again, and they're always going to get what they want because they are in more of a position of power. 82 game, how would you feel about a 40 or 50 game season?
I'll be wishy-washy and say it's better than nothing.
It's 100% better than nothing. I agree with you on that. It's better than nothing.
And you do ultimately get full playoffs, so that's a good thing.
Yep.
But it seems, I mean, we're talking basically of almost, what, a third of the schedule, basically?
Yes. It'd be, I mean, if they play 40, it would be a quarter of the schedule.
Right.
If they play 50, it'd be, yeah, closer to a third. And, I mean, I'd be interested because I think this year's already going to be screwy for baseball, and obviously screwy in a really bad way if they don't play. But if they do play, it's going to be different, right? Whether it's crowds or locations or number of games, you know, they've had all these different ideas kind of presented, but it's all, to me, better than nothing. You could still get them on the field, and yeah, would it be a true World Series champ? I don't know, but guess what? 1994, they didn't even have one,
right,
and that was so much worse. So give me kind of a screwy season. Maybe it'll, I mean, 40 games. I mean, how important is every game all of a sudden? And they're adding playoff teams. At least all the proposals have. I think that's one thing both sides agree on, is more playoff teams. So even in like a weird oddball 40-game season, you know, if you didn't get off to a hot start, but, you know, you're able to win some games down the stretch and you get into the playoffs, there's enough teams in there where maybe the best team will still win. I think it could be entertaining, and not that they would ever go to this long term, but
no.
Baseball needs a
little
something.
They can't. Yeah, they
can't. You're right. And the contracts are too much. Nobody would want that. And, you know, one of the things you can say about baseball, for better or worse, you know, is like during the summer, it's always on. Always on. You can flip it on the radio, you can flip it on the TV at night, you know, when you're doing other things, there's always baseball on. And so that's something that they have, considering they play twice as many games as every other sport does.
In the interest of full disclosure, obviously, I work for two entities for whom having Red Sox baseball available to them is hugely important.
Oh, yeah.
It's hugely important to this radio station, the flagship station for Red Sox baseball, and a big part of our financial success or failure. Not having games, really bad for us. I work for a TV station that is primarily owned by the Red Sox. Again, the outlet for Red Sox games locally, hugely important for them as well. I promise you, separating that, and I'm acknowledging that, I'm a sports fan. I'd rather be able to see games than not see games.
Oh, 100%. I definitely want it. I mean, to me, 40 games, it kind of, again, kind of crazy, but let's see what it looks like. I'd much rather see that. And I know some of the issues, and I think Passan was writing about it, Actually, no, I'm reading an article from Jesse Rogers wrote about it for ESPN. But he was talking about, you know, what if a guy hits 180, like goes on a really bad stretch. Like, so for example, Jackie Bradley is a good example of a guy. In a 40-game stretch, he could hit 450 or he could hit like 075.
Yep.
But I think all GMs will kind of understand that. So when it comes down to negotiations.
But I also expect they'll take advantage of it if they can.
Yeah, they might. But I think a smart GM would come through and say, all right, he struggled in this really weird season where we had a spring training, then we canceled spring training, then 6 months later we came back. And so if I also wouldn't necessarily reward a guy who hit 475. Like, you know, I'd be like, okay, like this is a weird year. Like, I'm going to base it more off of what you did in your previous year stats. Because the other thing that Major League Baseball already said is this is going to be a full year of service time. So guys like Mookie Betts and others who were supposed to be a free agent will be. So wouldn't you rather get something out of that? Like, let's Mookie Betts is like the big trade, but there were some other trades. And for those teams, like Mookie Betts, or the Dodgers should be able to get him even for a little bit. Like, even if it happens to be for 50 games, throw him out there, see what happens. And I don't know. I don't think teams would, or at least they shouldn't, penalize a guy who has a bad 2020, considering it's just such a different season.
Real quickly, I'll say this. More and more, we've heard voices being added to the mix, both individual voices. We mentioned Tiger Woods put out a statement today. Michael Jordan put out a statement yesterday. Teams and organizations have as well. Until this morning, only one of the five pro sports teams in Boston had put out any sort of a statement acknowledging Black Lives Matter and what's going on. That was the Celtics. We have still not heard from the Patriots, the Revolution, or the Bruins. The Red Sox have put out a series of posts this morning, including a picture of the Green Monster and the scoreboard on the Green Monster with the letters Black Lives Matter in the scoreboard, you know, where numbers would normally be on the Red Sox and an opposing scoreboard. They've also put out a statement from Sam Kennedy. So the Red Sox have added their voice to the mix. Still haven't heard anything from the Bruins, the Patriots, or the Revolution.
I wonder so why far. We haven't heard from
I don't
these
know.
Teams.
Yeah, I can't answer. And
it seems pretty straightforward. And again, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, over the top. You know, again, we've seen a wide range of either statements or posts or things like that. But, you know, I know today, on a lot of the social medias, it's like the Blackout Tuesday, and a lot of people are just posting either, you know, hashtag Black Lives Matter or just an image of just an all-black photo. And I don't know, it doesn't take that long for, you know, the Bruins or the Patriots to even tweet or Instagram post something like that.
All right, we'll get to a discussion here with Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal about Major League Baseball. We've heard from the Red Sox today. The question is whether we're going to get to see them play. We'll talk to Jared Diamond in just a couple of minutes. Tommy Curran at 12:15. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
Now back to Dale and Keith.
There he is!
Middays 10 to 2
on WEEI.
You get the sense that this might be the make or break week for Major League Baseball, more for the 2020 season, but maybe even long term beyond that. As he has done on a number of occasions in the past, joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is national baseball reporter for the Wall Street Journal, Jared Diamond. Hey, Jared, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. How are you guys?
I'm doing okay, thank you. Are you of the mind that we're getting close to make or break time for Major League Baseball and the Players Association to get something together here?
No doubt. If they want to start a baseball season around July 4th, which clearly they do, they have maybe a week to get a deal done. Now, if they don't, that doesn't mean there is no baseball this year. They could start the season later. There still is time. But there's no question that they all want to be playing baseball in about 1 month, and they have very little time to do it. And that's why I think we're seeing sort of the tension and the rhetoric ratchet up to this, the apex I think we're sort of seeing now.
All right, to try to spin it somewhat positive, because I feel like it is very negative when it comes to, you know, the prospects of baseball playing this year, what do the two sides agree on, if anything? Like, based on the proposals and the counter-proposals, are they on the same page with at least a couple of things?
When it comes to health and safety, they're generally there. It's not completely done. There's still some issues to be worked out about. What does high risk mean? Who could opt out? Could everybody opt out? Just some players. So they're still working that out, but they're getting closer there. Health and safety does not seem like the thing that's going to stop a deal. They're all sort of rowing the same direction, that players getting sick and catching the coronavirus is a bad thing. So at least they exist in that shared reality. When it comes to money, they're still far apart, but there was some good news. I think yesterday, as bad as things seem, there was a positive, which is the owners are saying, fine, last resort, we will pay you your prorated salaries, but it's only going to be for 40 games or 50 games. Well, a couple of days ago, the owners were saying, we will never pay you your full prorated salaries at all under any circumstances. Now, it's okay, we'll do it over 50 games. So it's not too hard to see them being able to maybe negotiate that up from 50 games to 80 games. The players make a concession along the way, and you have a season. So I think there is some movement, even if it's hard to see it through all the noise.
In the battle for hearts and minds of baseball fans, fans, and I'll include myself among them, very often root for the millionaires, meaning the players, over the billionaires, meaning the owners. This is one of the few instances where we're hearing from fans who are kind of on the owner's side for much of this. And yet, when we see what's going on with minor leaguers, when David Price is paying the salaries for minor leaguers and the Dodgers won't, and it's happening throughout baseball, it's getting harder and harder to root for the billionaires here.
Huh. Look, I understand why you feel that way. There's certainly a big divide among fans, just like there are among the two sides that are negotiating. This is a very emotional issue. And not everyone is fully understands it all. No one really understands it all because we don't know truly how much money the teams are making. And that's really why it's such a hard conversation to have for so many fans. Is we know what players are making. These salaries are public. Every detail of their contracts are public. But when it comes to the owners and the teams, we have no clue what their financial situation really is like. So when the owners say, we are going to lose money on every regular season game without fans, maybe it's true. But maybe it's not. I just have no idea. The union certainly doesn't believe it's true. But that sort of lack of insight into the truth of the owner's books makes it really difficult to really formulate a strong opinion about who's right and who's wrong. At the end of the day, though, if they don't play, it's not going to matter who's right or who's wrong. Everybody is going to lose.
Now, I know a week or so ago, Peter Gammons said that he believes Mookie Betts is going to lose somewhere, you know, like over $100 million in like what he probably would have made if it was just a normal season and he played well and then he hit free agency versus now, and there's just so much unknown. Again, we don't even know if they're going to play, if they're going to play 40 games or 80 games or whatever it might be, but in your best guess, what kind of contract could Mookie Betts be looking at the end of whatever this year unfolds?
And Mookie Betts isn't the player I'm really worried about here. He's still going to get paid because Mookie Betts is a top three 4 or 5 player in all of Major League Baseball. The demand for guys like him is going to be there. He is a once-in-a-generation type of player for the team that signs him. May his market be less than it would have been if not for the pandemic? Yeah, it certainly could be. I don't think it's going to be as dramatic. I think the guys that I worry about are every other free agent. There's certainly going to be less money in the pot than on free agents this winter, really perhaps for the foreseeable future. We're heading into a season with no fans in attendance. Even next year, we don't know what the situation is going to be. There's a very good chance, at least, that even if there are fans in the ballpark next year, it's not full stadiums or some sort of limited capacity. And even after that, we're heading into a very likely an economic recession or depression. Are people going to be out there buying tickets to baseball games during that? The reality is baseball's revenues are not going to be what they were pre-pandemic, probably for years. So it's certainly going to have an impact on free agency. And that's a shame. It really is.
What do you think the long-term impact will be if they end up scrapping the 2020 baseball season?
It would be devastating. It would be, to me, it would be far worse than even 94, 95. So we think of 1994, the strike, being the sort of death knell to baseball, or almost the death knell for baseball. It took a long time for baseball to recover from that. In some ways, it still hasn't recovered from canceling the 94 World Series. But if we think about now in 2020, it's been 25 years. There's a lot more entertainment options that exist than there did 25 years ago. Baseball's general popularity in this country is not what it was 25 years ago. To cancel the season now, I really believe that a lot of people would never come back. People would just move on, especially if the NHL comes back, if the NBA comes back, if the NFL has a somewhat normal season. All of those things seem at least possible, if not likely. And if baseball is the only sport to not be able to work it out in this time, honestly, the only conclusion you could draw is that they deserve whatever comes from it, because I just find it very hard to believe that fans would come back if baseball cancels the season now in 2020, when everyone has Netflix and everyone has HBO Max and all these other sports and a million other things to do. It's a different world than it was 25 years ago.
Now, are they still looking to play the games in their home stadiums? Is that still what the plan is, albeit with no fans? Is that still what the hope would be if they get things going on July 4th?
Yeah, that is the plan, to play in home stadiums, or at least as many of them as possible. It's still conceivable that some teams might have to move to make that work. Toronto has a situation because of the travel restrictions in Canada, potentially some others. But the plan would be to play in as many big league stadiums as possible. Honestly, it's looking a lot more feasible as every day goes on. We see more and more states expressing openness to sports being played at their ballparks. So we can sort of see those doors starting to open now.
Now, and maybe this will be a cross that bridge when they get to it type of deal, but have they thought at all about, you know, on a state-by-state basis, let's say Massachusetts, they're letting them play at Fenway, but they're not allowing fans in, whereas in, say, Ohio, Cleveland and Cincinnati can have fans. Would that be like an unfair advantage? Would it be, hey, it's going to be all or nothing, or would some stadiums be open to fans and others not?
Well, yeah, I had a conversation actually with someone at MLB about this topic just yesterday afternoon. They are not going to be making decisions about fans based on what the government allows. So right now, for instance, in Texas, they're technically allowing 25% capacity in stadiums that are outdoors. That does not mean Major League Baseball is going to allow that, at least right away. I think their dream scenario is that at some point in 2020, whether that's September, whether that's during the playoffs, they could start allowing some fans into the ballpark. But it's not going to be the case where a few teams will have fans at the beginning and other teams won't. The MLB is going to make its own decisions, not just go along with what each individual government says at that time.
A more mundane question wraps up my end of it here, and it's a simple thing. If they cobble this thing together, some shortened training camp, sprint to the end, are there legitimate concerns, particularly with pitchers, about injury issues and Tommy John surgeries and all of that?
Oh, no doubt about it. For proof of that, just look what's happened in South Korea, whose season came back quite rapidly. There was a rash of hamstring and other lower body injuries to position players that way more than typical in a normal season. Also in Korea, at least at the beginning of the year, velocities were down from pitchers. The average velocity was down a tick or two from normal. And you could only attribute that, you have to imagine, to just a lack of preparation. So it's going to be an issue. I don't think pitchers are going to go very deep into the game, especially at the beginning. Rosters are going to probably be expanded to sort of help out with that. The product we're going to see, especially the beginning of this season, is not going to be what we're used to. It's going to look different. It's going to be sloppier. It's going to be rustier. But I think after 3 months of barely going outside, just seeing any Major League Baseball on the TV is going to be really welcome. And hopefully by the end of the year, that quality gets back to where we expect.
Now, Jared, this is a question we've been asking, hockey writers and basketball writers, and I guess now for baseball as well. Let's say they play 82 games or less for a regular season. They have the expanded playoffs. Will the World Series champion be looked at as a legitimate World Series champ, or is it always going to be looked at like, oh, yeah, that was the weird year?
Yeah, it's funny. I get asked this a lot, and my answer to that is always, everyone is going to think it's not legitimate unless your team wins it, and then it's going to be the most legitimate championship of all time.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And that's just the way it's going to be. And it's fine. I understand. There's going to be a sect of people that say, oh, this isn't real. It's the fake season. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. If your team wins the World Series, go celebrate. Have as much fun as you would have if it was over a full season. At the end of the day, certainly an 80-game season and playoffs is better than no baseball, and I hope people sort of recognize it. Who really cares? Just be happy there's baseball on at all, given everything we've gone through.
Jared Diamond, national baseball reporter for the Wall Street Journal. We always appreciate your time and your perspective. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jared.
Jared Diamond. We'll react to it back on the other side.
You know,
he said some interesting things there.
You know who I've been thinking about this for baseball? The absolute biggest winner of all of this nonsense is the Houston Astros.
Yes.
The people are going to forget like that.
And
they
Dr.
cheated.
James
who
Andrews.
Who cares? That seems like a million years ago. Like, who cares about the Astros cheating? Now, I still hope that teams kind of get mad at him and throw at him and do all that stuff and give him a hard time. But that seems like a million years ago, and there are so many other issues, both for the sport and in real life, that the Astros cheating is like, that is yesterday's papers.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll react to what we just heard from Jared Diamond in just a couple of minutes. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston at 12:15. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.